As part of the development along the way to being a priest in the seminary is a word called formation. Formation takes on various aspects, intellectual, human, spiritual, pastoral. And what happens is when the individual comes in, who manifests a vocation, it's not just enough to know the faith, to understand the intellectual propositions of the doctrine, but one has to live them out with the mind and the heart and of the church and of Jesus Christ himself. In my own particular aspect of a formation, part of the formation was to go out and to do ministerial activities. And I remember in minor seminary, which would be the high school seminary, part of the formation was to be exposed to various individuals who did apostolic work. One of the great works that was being done was by the Little Brothers and Sisters of the Poor. And on Thanksgiving and Christmas, they would throw literally these lavish parties for the poor. They would bring in the poor, and they would serve them meals. And not just the meals like the soup kitchen, but literally we're talking lobster and steak. And you can imagine these individuals who were living on budgets that could barely get them by during the week, to have a meal like this, you know. And the idea of the fact was the fact that these who are the poor deserve to be treated like kings and queens. They deserve to have their lives elevated in some way, and the Little Brothers and Sisters of the Poor did their best to treat them on these two particular days as kings and queens, as individuals who were held up in the best by the best standards and the best relationships. And of course, what the Little Brothers and Sisters of the Poor would do is solicit help. And of course, they would come to the seminary for it. And we were placed before us, you know, the task of doing that, of going out and serving. And of course, when I say they would serve an area, they would serve an area. They would start at around 11 o'clock, where you bus all the tables and make sure everything was all in preparation. Then you'd jump in a car and you'd pick up people and bring them in. And we're talking hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of people that would be served on that day. And it was Thanksgiving and it was Christmas. And it meant that you were not going to be with your family and you weren't going to be in the home, that you were going to be serving. You were going to be attending. You were going to be bussing the tables. You were going to be at the steam. You were going to be at the steam washing machine that kind of was taking in these things, that you were going to be taking people back, that you were going to be doing everything. And you worked, literally, you worked from before 11, and you finished up cleaning up the area, which was usually a school gym, which would bring in as many people as possible to be able to do that. And you were finished at about 11:30 at night. And you were dragging, absolutely dragging. And I remember after we had finished with that, you know, you felt, you know, separated from your family that day, and you were just, oh my gosh, you were just tired. You know, you're pulling yourself in. And we all kind of got into a car. And who was there was a Monsignor Ignatius McDermott, Iggy McDermott. And Monsignor McDermott was the, his title was Pastor of Madison Avenue. Madison Avenue is really kind of a tough area in Chicago. It's where the dregs of the society kind of find themselves. And this was a guy who was out on the streets. He would be meeting with people. He'd be making sure that they'd have a place to stay for the night. He'd be taking people to rehab once, twice, three, six times over, the same people. Everybody knew Monsignor McDermott, Iggy by name. Everyone knew him. And there he was, this kind of iconic figure who was there, and he suddenly was there with us at the end of the day. And Iggy looked at us, and he could see us kind of just drained, just tired, you know, it looked like our spirits were kind of downcast. And he looked at us and he raised his fist up and he says, "Fellas, Isn't it great to be tired for Christ? Isn't it great to be tired for Christ? Now, this was a man who, on the celebration of his 50th anniversary as a priest, they had to hold it at McCormick Place in Chicago because over 50,000 people came to pay him tribute. And there were people from all walks of life. All walks of life. Isn't it great to be tired for Christ? To spend ourselves for the Lord. Now, I say this because when we're talking in terms of today's gospel, Jesus Christ is sending out his apostles. This is formation. He's arming them with little or nothing, their ability. So there's a simplicity. He's not telling them to take anything in order to be able to rely upon their own well-being. He's talking about having little or nothing, but the word which empowers them. And secondly, there's a trust, they tell some, a dependency. When you have little or nothing, there is immediately a dependency that you have to have, a dependency that as you're being sent out, you trust that God's going to be there for you. I mean, it happens to all of us over here in terms of our own lives, that we venture out and venture going forward. What's the one thing? God, be with me. Be with me in this journey of life. Be with me when I'm now making this commitment in marriage. Be with me as I'm taking on this new task that I'm called to be. Be with me. And in that, I have a confidence to be able to fulfill whatever mission you set before me. It gives a tremendous confidence to all of us. So we have little or nothing. It's a simplicity that suddenly is embraced. You know, how sophisticated can we get before God who has everything? Very little. So we have to understand, no matter how sophisticated we might be, we are simple before God. And the message that God gives us is simple. And that message is simply to love others, to care for others, to be there for people. This is part of the formation now that the apostles are being directed to. And then lastly, to be generous, to use the power that's given to them for the sake of those who receive the word. Be generous. Be generous. And in terms of spending oneself, God returns something that we could never ever imagine. A sense of his own love in our lives and a love that is manifest in others. And then, of course, there's the message itself. So when you go out, and when these apostles are going out, they're going out with little or nothing, dependent upon God, with a generous heart and a generous spirit. And then they have the message. The message is the proclamation. And that proclamation for all of us is that Jesus Christ is Lord and God. It makes a difference in our lives. And the message is to repent. And repent not just in terms of coming to our knees and asking for forgiveness, but repentance in terms of changing our lives, to opening ourselves up more and more to the presence of God. Repent. And lastly, but probably most importantly, is the message is to share it with others. To share it with others. When we take a look at the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, realize that what he's saying, in him we were also chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will, so that we might exist for the praise of his glory, we who first hoped in Christ. There's oftentimes a saying in our society, don't kill the messenger. You know what we did? We did. Because he gave himself so generously and so fully that he offered his life for us freely. so that he might bring that message of love. It's our task to be formed by that message and to share that love with others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.